Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. At Church at Home, we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And we do it by studying the Bible, by going to the Bible and the Bible only. Now, we can back up the things that are true by examining history and see how things came together. But in your home, you have the freedom, you have the privacy, and you have the ability to control the environment around you, to where you can use Church at Home as a tool to help you understand the truth of God. Now, we are living in the last days, and we are living in a time when there's great deception that has come upon the whole world. And actually, when you come to understand it, this world has been deceived by Satan the devil for a long, long, long time. Goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. And it works this way. When man rejects what God teaches him, then he opens himself up and gives permission for Satan the devil to come in and to bring the lies, and to bring the deceit. And when that happens, then we see what is now developed, coming down to the end time, of a complete distortion and perversion of the original Christianity as taught by Jesus and the original apostles. Now, Revelation 12 and verse 9 says that Satan the devil is deceiving, now that is present tense active participle, the whole world. And we can see that deception in politics. Yes, that's easy to see. We can see it in economics. Yes, that's easy to see with the current problems with mortgages and banking, all based upon lies and deceit and shadow, mirrors, smoke, creating monetary instruments that really have no value, but are designed to be bought and sold so that those who invent them can make money. Much like roulette wheel or playing cards. And there comes a time when it all falls down. And we're close to that time. But worst of all, coming from economics now, let's come to Christianity. Let's come to the place that Satan really has targeted from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Not only, is he out to deceive the world and people in it? But in his temptation of Jesus Christ, he sought to destroy the plan of God by getting Jesus Christ to sin. And let's see what this temptation brought about. Let's come to Luke, the 4th chapter. This will be very interesting indeed, when we understand the wiles of Satan the devil. Because as we have seen in other segments and video cast, that there are false teachers who stealthily crept in to the early New Testament church and brought damnable, destructive heresies with them, denying the only Lord Jesus Christ and turning the grace of God into licentiousness. Now, in order for Jesus to become our Savior, he had to defeat Satan the devil. And Satan the devil became God of this world, going clear back to when Adam and Eve listened to Satan and his lies instead of believing God in faith and holding true to the Word of God. Now, years ago, someone asked the question, What would the world have been like if Adam and Eve had not sinned? I did a couple of sermons on them, and you can go to cbcg.org, and we'll key it in here. What would the world have been like if Adam and Eve had not sinned? Because we can go back and say, Adam did it. Yes, that's true. Eve did it. Yes, that's true. But Satan, the devil, did it first. Because he rebelled and took a third of the angels with him and became the adversary of God. Now, because God gave Satan the opportunity to go in the Garden of Eden, and God gave Adam and Eve free moral agency to choose what was right and what was wrong, and they could have eaten of the tree of life, but they chose to eat of the tree that God said, you should not. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they ate of that tree, they rejected God's authority to decide what was right and wrong, and took to themselves that authority, and Satan the devil became their God. And he's been the God of this world ever since, as we find in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. So because that occurred, in order to save mankind, whom Jesus created, he became as a human being, born of the Virgin Mary, and when it came time for the beginning of his ministry, he had to confront Satan the devil and defeat him and win that battle. So this is what we find in Luke, the 4th chapter. So let's come here and let's see this. And let's see the wiles of Satan the devil and the way that he tempted Jesus, and understand this is how he tempts all human beings likewise. Let's begin, verse 1. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, after his baptism, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing in those days, and after they had come to an end, he hungered. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that this stone become bread. Now, could Jesus do that? Of course he could. Did he not feed the 5,000 and the 4,000 from a few fish and a few loaves of bread? Yes. Could he have commanded that stone to become bread? If he did, let's ask the question, who would he be obeying? God the Father or Satan the devil? And if he had done that, in obeying Satan, he would have had another God before him, and the wages of that is death. And if Jesus died for his own sin, he could not be the Savior of the world. So this was quite a temptation. Now, likewise, there will be temptations in your life that will come along because you are in distress, or you are in difficulty, or in the case of Jesus, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil comes and tempts you to give you an easy way out. You don't have to be hungry here. You don't have to worry about this. Or in a case of keeping the Sabbath, well, you know, if you worked on Saturday, you could earn time and a half or double time. Now, wouldn't that be nice? And you could give the money to God. Now, wouldn't he be happy with that? Of course not. See, so all of us have our own temptation from Satan the devil, don't we? There are a lot of helpers out there today, high-tech, low-tech, everywhere, here and there, all around. Now, notice what Jesus answered. And this also fits into the truth of God as to what we should do. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man. Now he's quoting from the scriptures because now he was God manifested in the flesh, a man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Matthew has a little more to it, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What do we have with the Bible? the words of God. How did we get it? God spoke to Moses. God spoke to the prophets. God spoke to the writers, didn't he? Yes, indeed. These are the words of God. So you overcame that. But let me ask you a question. Do you live by every word of God as magnified by Jesus Christ in the New Testament? How do you live your life? Do you follow the traditions of men and the teachings of men? Do you believe the teachings of religious leaders who tell you lies and myths from the pulpit? What do you believe? How do you live your life? This is the test. Do you live your life by every word of God? Now let's see what else happened. Verse 5, then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and the glory of them, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Now, this was a shortcut presented to Jesus. You don't have to go through all of this and die for the world. You can rule the world now. You don't have to wait and come back a second time to rule the world. You can do it now. But there's one little requirement. Verse 7, therefore, if you will worship me in my presence, all these things shall be yours. And what would have happened? He would have had another god before the true God. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this. Seriously, whom do you worship? Whom do you believe? Who do you follow? Who is your God? Do you live by every word of God? Do you love God and keep His commandments? You know, John wrote, if anyone comes and says, I know the Lord, and doesn't keep His commandments, he's a liar. Where does that put every preacher who says the commandments and laws of God have been done away? Are you able to make that connection in judgment? Where does this put men who come along and sanctify pagan ways of worship and pagan gods and make it Christian? Can a man come and take what God calls an abomination and sanctify it and say it's good? We've been delivered to do these things. I want you to think about that in relationship to Christmas, because we're going to get to Christmas here pretty quick. But I want you to understand how alluring that this temptation was, and that every human being is subjected to this in varying degrees in their lifetimes, and are subjected to it in churches that should teach the truth of the Bible and are called Christian, but actually teach pagan things, which then are satanic. I want you to think about it as we go along, because I want you to understand the truth of God, which leads to far more glory, which leads to eternal life, which leads to understanding of the Word of God. And you have faith and you have hope and you love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. This is what is important. Would you set all of that aside to worship a papier-mâché god, to worship Satan the devil, to go the easy way? What is it that you will do? What do you want from God? What does God want from you? All these questions need to be asked. Let's notice Jesus' answer. But Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That is, not saying Satan will worship God, but man and Christ would worship God, and him only shall you serve. Do you do that? We're going to see in a little bit what God expects us to do, how we need to do that. but let's go on. Then he led him to Jerusalem and set him on the edge of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge concerning you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Tempting God. Now, what would have happened if Jesus would have done that? Satan would have come down there and gathered him into his hands, set him on his feet, and summoned all the scribes and Pharisees who were against him and who rejected him, and he would say, "Here is your Messiah." But what did Jesus do? Verse 12, "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'It is clearly stated, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" What tempts the Lord your God? By following edicts of Satan in place of the commandments of God. Have you ever thought of it that way? Do you tempt God? Now let's come to John, the 4th chapter, and let's see something very important, which has to do with how we are to worship God today. Remember, if we're going to restore original Christianity for today, we have to go into the Bible and find out, what did Jesus teach? What is God telling us? What are we to do? How are we to do it? What is our relationship between us and God? What is your relationship between you and God? God wants us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul and being. Do you? God wants us to keep his commandments spiritually, in the spirit of the law. Do you? Let's see how we are to worship God. Let's come to the account here of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, after Jesus told her that she had had 5 husbands, she said, verse 19, John 4, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now, she was religious and said, it's like a lot of people, "Oh, we go to church on the corner. Wonderful. Oh, you're born again? Really? Oh, isn't that nice? Why don't you come to Sunday services with us?" She said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that the place where it is obligatory to worship is Jerusalem." That's what it was back in the days of Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." That's today. Temple is destroyed. Jerusalem was turned over to the Gentiles for all this time. And there's still no temple in Jerusalem. Yes, it will be built before the end of the age, but it's not built yet. And when it is, because the Jews reject Jesus Christ, that's not the place to worship. Where do you worship? Is it in a church? Is it in a building? Or is it in your home? But in either case, a church, a building, or a home, how are you to worship God? You to do it with incense? Sprinkle a little water? You to do it with beads and recite Hail Mary and Our Father? Are you to do it by bowing down before idols, lighting candles? What are all of those things but physical things? Notice what Jesus said. "You do not know what you worship." Does that apply to you? Do you really know God the Father and Jesus Christ? Do you know what you worship? And what you worship has to do more than the time you spend in reading the Bible, more than the time you spend in church. You worship the Father in how you live and how you think and how your life is. Verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is indeed seeking those who worship him in this manner." The true worshipers, what does this also tell us? There are false worshipers. There are people who worship God in ignorance falsely. Okay? True worshipers are those who worship God in spirit and in truth and have the Spirit of God. And what did we cover? What is truth? God's laws, God's commandments, God's precepts, and His truth endures forever. And His truth is through all generations. And Your word is the truth, and we're sanctified by the word of God. Where, pray tell, does that give room for abolishing the laws and commandments of God? Where, pray tell, does that give room for doing away with the Old Testament? Where, pray tell, with the evangelicals that now you don't even have to read the Gospels because that was for the Jews? All lies, 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 lies. Is God honored with lies? Do you think those are lies? Well, we're going to examine Christmas in detail in the next segment. And we're going to ask the question, is God really honored by Christmas, or is this a lie of Satan the devil? For the Father is indeed seeking those who worship Him in this manner. Are you seeking God? If you are, God is seeking you, but you've got to do it in spirit and in truth. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must. That means it's obligatory. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you worship God in that way? That's why you need the series of sermons, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, because that shows you how to love God, how to live God's way, and it also shows you the way around all of these cleverly devised lies and schemes that men have thought of. And we need to ask the question. And this is where we'll begin next time. Put lies over here on this side. Put truth over here on this side. This is all dark and black because there is no truth in the lies. There is all righteousness and truth over here because that represents the Word of God in His way. And in between are the areas of gray and the mixture of truth and error that men have done. And it's become so bad today that we even have what are called true lies. There was even a movie about that, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it. That's before he became governor of California. And that's what we got from him, true lies. Lies given as truth. Now, what happens on the other side, where it's supposed to be the truth, those are rejected and called lies. So the world is upside down, and the truth of God is put in lies, and the lies of men and myths and Satan the devil are there and accepted as truth and embraced as a wonderful thing to do. I want you to think about that in relationship to Christmas. Now let's come to 1 John, the second chapter. Let's read something here that's very important. Now, we saw how we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. All right? Is Christmas in spirit and in truth? No. What is Christmas based upon? Now, it's fun, it's joyous, wonderful music, clever disguise. What a counterfeit. How masterful that it has been done so that the whole world follows it and love it and believe it and will reject the true God for it. 1 John, the second chapter. Let's read the whole basis of Christmas, verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its lust is passing away, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The contrast. What about all the buying of presents? Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. Is that of God? A lot of people believe it is. What do you believe? What do you practice? Are you willing to look Christmas straight in the face through the lens of Scripture to see it for what it is? We'll cover that in the next segment or two. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.